Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The reading this morning is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to pray in your hearts with me. Merciful God, that's indeed what we need, holiness, faithfulness, righteousness. May your word speak to us this morning so we can discover exactly what righteousness means and how we actually obtain righteousness. May your spirit open our hearts and our minds to receive your message today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me see, how many of you still write letters? I'm not talking about text messages or social media posts or emails, but actually putting pen to paper. How many of you? Oh, that's very nice. Quite a few of you. So how many of you like to receive a handwritten letter? I think most of us, right? Most of us like that because it's nice to receive a real letter. Now, there was a time when more people used to write true letters. And some of these letters actually changed history in ways both big and small. But let me give you a few examples. Someone wrote a letter that killed Charlotte Braun. Now, I'm sure you're thinking, Charlotte who? Charlotte Braun was a pushy version of Charlie Brown, right? The classic Peanuts character. And in November of 1954, Charles Schulz introduced Charlotte Braun to the comic strip. And then a fan wrote a letter to Schulz complaining about the obnoxious character. And Schulz killed the character, literally. He wrote a response to the fan, which included a drawing of Charlotte Braun with an axe in her head. And I'm sure we all know, my name is Bond, James Bond. And Ian Fleming, of course, is the creator of James Bond. Maybe what you don't know is that James Bond, or know about James Bond, is that someone wrote a letter that rearmed him. In 1956, a fan named Jeffrey Boothroyd wrote to Ian Fleming and criticized him for putting a lady's gun in Bond's hands. The gun he was referring to was a 2.5 caliber Beretta, .25 Beretta. And Fleming responded by rearming Bond with a Walther PPK. And he also took on Boothroyd as an arms advisor, and then he went further and created a new character named Major Boothroyd. And if you're a Bond fan, which I'm sure you are, you will know him as Q. Now, a scripture passage for today is from a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and it's a very important letter. It's a letter that made all of us children of God through faith. And it's a letter, Paul argues, that we are made right with God not through religious law, but through the faith of Jesus. And he wrote this letter to a group of Greek-speaking converts, people who became believers in Jesus Christ and then wondered if they needed to add Jewish religious practices to their new faith in Jesus. And you see, some letters, like the ones written to Charles Schulz and Ian Fleming, shaped history in small ways. But Paul's letter to the Galatians changed history in a really, really big way. As a matter of fact, it totally transformed it. And so let's dig a little bit deeper and let me explain to you why. First of all, because of Paul's letter, we can find ourselves in a new relationship. A new relationship with God. Because Paul writes, now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Before Paul put pen to papyrus, we were all held prisoner by the law. We had no freedom. Not until God showed us the way of faith that was coming. Because you see, the religious laws of the Bible restrained and protected people, okay? The laws prevented them from hurting themselves, prevented them from hurting other people. And the law controlled them and kept them under its power until the time came when we would have faith. Until the time came when we were mature enough to respond freely in faith to the living God. Before that, we were carefully surrounded and protected by the Mosaic law. So Paul goes on and he writes in verse 24, and therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. Before Jesus came, the law, he says, was our disciplinarian. Now, when Paul uses the word disciplinarian or paedagogos in Greek, he uses a word that had a very specific meaning in the first Greco-Roman world. It's a word that the Galatians would have known well. The disciplinarian was a slave who supervised and guarded children, took them to school and back, made sure that they were safe, made sure that they behaved. It was kind of like a nanny. And so even though the protective custody of the slave or nanny was important, it was only temporary. Because once the children grew up, they no longer needed the slave's services. They no longer needed a nanny. And so in terms of the history of faith, Paul says that the law was our guardian until the way of faith was revealed. So the law was our nanny until Jesus Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. Now, it's not like people didn't have faith in God for many hundreds of years. They did. I mean, you see it in the Old Testament. But history really changed when Christ faithfully suffered death and then rose to new life. And that's why Paul wrote his letter when he did. And he insists that the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. So you see, once Christ came, no more nanny. Once Christ died and rose from the tomb, no human action is required except that we put our complete trust in Him. So what Paul is saying is that we are justified by faith. Not by religious law. We are made right with God by faith. It is faith that makes us acceptable to God. By faith, we are in direct relationship with God. And I want you to notice something important here. When Paul says that we are justified by faith, it means two things. Because there are really two kinds of faith here. There is personal faith, and there is Christ's faith. The faith of Christ is critically important here, because it is his faithful death and resurrection that brings God's love into the very center of human life. That makes God's love real for us. If it weren't for Christ's faith and his faithfulness in following through with God's plan, our relationship with God might have been much different. And so we're talking about Christ's faith. But our own faith has a role to play as well. We say yes to what God has done by putting our trust in Jesus. And earlier in Galatians, Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God, loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself to save me. So Paul has put his trust in Jesus, as he certainly should. But this line can also be translated, I live by the faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, personal faith and Christ's faith, together they form the Christian faith. And now that we're in a state of faith, we no longer need to live in a nanny state. He says, but now that faith has come, we're no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. That's what Paul says to the Galatians in his history-changing letter. So what's the result of being justified by faith? I mean, maybe you're saying to yourself, so what? I mean, what about it? Let me just say to you that this is huge, okay? This is life-changing. This is what enables you to have a personal relationship with the Almighty God. What Paul is saying is that all followers of Christ are now children of God. When you're justified through faith, you become a child of God. He says, for in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you become part of God's family. And now you have an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. Why? Because you're his child. Faith in Christ makes us children of God. And you see, until Paul wrote to the Galatians, the term children of God had been reserved for God's chosen people, right? It was for the Jews and for the first Jewish followers of Jesus. And these first disciples continued to practice circumcision and follow many of the religious laws of the Old Testament. But now, says Paul, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, whether you're circumcised or not, whether you keep the law or know nothing of the law, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Greek, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, in Christ Jesus, we're all children through faith. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for today's verses? What does that mean for you as the Community Church of Douglas? So I want you to listen very carefully. The history-making letter speaks of the power of faith to create a new family. The power of faith to create a new family called children of God. And there's only one thing that brings you into this family. Doesn't matter if you have both a mother and a father. It doesn't matter what your background is. Whether you come from a wealthy family or a poor family. Doesn't matter if you're a U.S. citizen or if you're an immigrant from Mexico. Doesn't matter if your first language is English or Chinese or Korean or Spanish or Afrikaans. Doesn't matter if you have a police record or not. Doesn't matter if you have a high school diploma or if you have so many degrees that they call you Dr. Fahrenheit. It doesn't matter if you have a white collar or a blue collar or a no job or a spouse or a car or an impressive house or a big 401k. What matters is only faith. The faith of Christ. What he did for us and our faith as well. Because in God's eyes, we're all the same through faith in Jesus. Faith is the only thing that matters. That's what makes us children of God. And so as Paul states, there are no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. You're all God's children because of your faith in Christ Jesus. And so that's why it's a big deal, okay? That's why his letter changed the world. It gave us a whole new identity. And so he writes in verse 27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We all know what it means to get dressed, right? Do we? We all know what that means. To clothe ourselves. Paul says that when you were baptized, it was as if you had put on Christ. It was like putting on new clothes. So I want to expand just a little more on this idea of putting on Christ, being clothed in Christ Jesus. So I want to play a little game with you. But first, would you agree that what we wear says something about us? Would you agree with that? I mean, to a smaller or larger degree, the kind of clothes we wear do make some kind of a statement. Would you agree with that, Ed? I'm just kidding with you. And some people are, you know, obviously more into it than others. But would you agree that the way we dress does communicate at least something about us? Okay, so let's play a little game. I'm going to show you some pictures of me, okay? And you're going to tell me what you learn about me simply from the way I'm dressed in these pictures, okay? Let's say you've never met me before. You've never met me before. So when you see me dressed this way, what do my clothes tell you about me? Okay, so I'm going to go through this fairly fast. So you just tell me what you learn about me. So here's the first one. What does that say about me?
You're a Liverpool fan.
All right, I'm a Liverpool fan. Big Liverpool fan. You could say a lot of things, right? I play tennis, and maybe I'm good, maybe I'm bad, but I love tennis. I like to ride a motorcycle. It might say I'm maybe a little adventurous, right?
Man of the cloth.
Man of the cloth.
Musician.
Oh, like music. This one's a little more tricky.
Golf.
We see the logo, right? That's Tiger Woods' new logo. I'm crazy, yeah. Oops, that one wasn't supposed to be there, I'm sorry. So here's the idea. Paul says when you put on Christ, when you got that new identity, it was like putting on new clothes. So what does it mean to be clothed with Christ? Here's what it means. When we clothe ourselves with Christ, we take on his characteristics. And then we do our best to present him to the world. Who we are, how we live, make a statement to the world about Jesus Christ. So being clothed in Christ means you show other people his grace. You show other people his love. You speak his truth. You serve others with generosity and with compassion. When we go into the world wearing the clothes of Christ, we cannot help but have an impact. Because what people see is the characteristics of Jesus Christ. So you see, we're in a new relationship with God through faith in Jesus. The law is no longer like a nanny to us. We are justified through faith in Christ alone. We now have a direct and personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. And because of that, we belong to a new family. We are now children of God. Not because of race or wealth or nationality or status or whatever, but because of faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And because we are children of God and have been united with Christ, we have a new identity. We have put on the new clothes of Jesus Christ. And by sharing his characteristics of love and grace and compassion and generosity and truth, we are having an impact on the world around us. And so Paul's letter has changed our history. And we have received this history-changing letter. And so what we need to do is to respond. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you. Thank you that we don't need religious law to justify us and make us right with you, but that Christ came to change everything. And that we are in a new relationship with you because of him. By us putting our faith and our trust in him. God, will you make this real for each and every one of us so that each day we will be more clothed like your Son Jesus. So we can show his love and grace to a world that so needs it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to you. Amen.